Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهديين وسلم تسليما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today we're going to have a very important topic that we're going to go over, and the topic is the reality, rights, and the rank of the family of Muhammad alayhum assalam. In one particular narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, among what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confided to Moses alayhi salam in an intimate conversation. So God's having a really private, special conversation one night with Moses, and he says to him, I do not accept the prayer except from the one who humbles himself before my greatness, fills his heart with my fear, spends his day in remembrance of me, does not persist in sin overnight, recognizes the rights of my friends and loved ones. So basically, God's giving Moses the secret to how a person's prayer can be accepted. Moses said, O Lord, do you mean by your friends and loved ones Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, they are indeed among them, but I meant the one for whose sake I created Adam and Eve, and for whose sake I created even paradise and hell. Moses asked, O Lord, and who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammad, Ahmed, I derived his name from my own name. I am Al-Mahmud, and he is Muhammad. Moses said, O Lord, make me from his nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya Musa, O Moses, you are from his nation. If you recognize his status and the status of the people of his household. Now, that's a very important point here, and this is something that I put underneath it, 1,000 underlines. Because here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines to Moses who is actually a member of Muhammad's nation, Muhammad's ummah. When we talk about the preference of Muhammad's ummah over all of the other nations, we're not talking here about the nation that lived in his time, but rather we're talking about a group of people that make up a nation that live in all different periods of time that recognize the status of Muhammad and his household. So even if you're a Muslim and you live in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, if you fail to recognize the status of Imam Ali and the divinely appointed successors, you are actually not a member of the Ummah of Muhammad. His likeness and the likeness of his household amongst my creation is like the likeness of Firdus, the highest level of paradise, among the other gardens. Its leaves never wither and its taste never changes. Whoever knows them and acknowledges their rights, I will give him knowledge in the midst of ignorance and light in the midst of darkness. I will answer him before he calls upon me, and I will give him before he asks. So that's the key. That's the key to having your prayers accepted. And here's the Arabic version of the narration. So what is their rank? Because the narration said what? That whoever recognizes their rank and acknowledges it, then I will accept their prayers and I will answer them without them even asking. So what is the rank that a person who is from the nation of Muhammad has to acknowledge in comparison to the rest of the divinely appointed messengers? What's so special about them? Is it just that they're kings? Is that the only thing that we're supposed to acknowledge? Is it just that they're caliphs? Is it just that they're imams? Is it just that they're good men? Well, Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says in one narration, a Jew came to the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. He stood before him and he stared at him intently. The Prophet said, O Jew, what do you want? The Jew said, are you better or is Moses the son of Imran, the Prophet to whom God spoke, upon whom he revealed the Torah, gave the staff, parted the sea for him, and shaded him with the clouds? The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, replied, it is disliked for a servant to praise his own self. But I will say this, when Adam, peace be upon him, committed the mistake that he committed, his repentance was to say, Ya Allah, I ask you, by the right of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, to forgive me, so God forgave him. So this was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reply to the Jew, basically to the question, who is better, Moses or Muhammad? He's saying, look, I don't want to praise myself, but yes, I am better, and Muhammad and the family of Muhammad are better than Adam even. And when Noah boarded the ark and feared drowning, he said, O Allah, I ask you by the right of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad to save me from drowning. So God saved him. So basically Muhammad saying that he's also better than Noah. And when Abraham, peace be upon him, was thrown into the fire, he said, O Allah, I ask you by the right of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad to save me. And God made the fire cool and calm and safe for him. And when Moses, peace be upon him, threw his staff and felt fear within himself, he said, Ya Allah, I ask you by the right of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad to give me security. So God the Exalted said, Do not fear. Indeed, you are the superior one. O Jew, had Moses lived in my time and did not believe in me and in my prophethood, his faith would not have benefited him in any way, nor would his prophethood have availed him. Meaning Moses and his entire prophethood, it wouldn't have even mattered if he wouldn't have accepted the wilayah of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. Then the Prophet Muhammad said, O Jew, and from my progeny is the Mahdi. When he appears, Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam, will descend to support him. He will place him, al-Mahdi, in front and pray behind him. So obviously the Prophet saying that the Mahdi, alayhi salam, is better than Jesus. So his Ahl Bayt are better than Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. So are the Prophet Muhammad and his successors better than all of the prophets, messengers, judges, and kings? Yes. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, You, O Ali, and your children are the chosen ones of Allah from amongst His creation. Imam Ali alayhi salam in another hadith said, "We are the Ahlul Bayt. None can be compared to us. The Quran was revealed amongst us, and within us lies the source of the message, the prophethood." Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in another hadith said, "Indeed, Allah the Almighty did not grant any prophet a rank." Now listen to this. "He did not grant any prophet a rank, nor any messenger a virtue, except that He granted all of it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and He increased Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi over the prophets many times over." In one narration, Abu Basir says that Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, said, "O Abu Muhammad, indeed Allah the Mighty, the Glorious, did not give the prophets anything except that He also gave it to Muhammad. In fact, Muhammad was given all that was granted to the prophets. And with us are the scriptures of which Allah the Exalted said, the scriptures of Abraham and Moses." Abu Basir said, "May I be your ransom? Are these the tablets?" He, peace be upon him, said, "Yes." Now, why are these important, these narrations that we just went over? Because if we have proved that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, according to their words, their narrations, the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are better than all of the prophets and the messengers, and we also had narrations that state that everything that was given to the other prophets and messengers were given to them, then perhaps we need to see what was given to the other prophets and messengers in order that we may know without a shadow of a doubt that it was given to Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. And perhaps that will allow us to get to know their ranks and their rights more. So what about commanding the angels and the souls? Jesus in the Bible says, "The Son of Man will send out His angels." A man came to him and said, "O Messenger of Allah," in a hadith, "inform me about the saying of Allah the Almighty and Majestic to Iblis. Did you act arrogantly, or were you among the exalted ones? Who, O Messenger of Allah, are those who are higher than the close angels?" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, "It is I, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hasan, and Al-Husayn alayhim as-salam. We were in the canopy of the throne, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels were glorifying God by following our glorification." So they are the teachers of the angels, and they reside higher above the angels. And they existed 2,000 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. When Allah created Adam, He commanded the angels to prostrate to him, meaning Adam. And they were not commanded to prostrate except because of us. So all the angels prostrated together except for Iblis. He refused to prostrate. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, when speaking about the multitude of angels, "There is not a single one of them, not a single angel, except that he draws closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala each day through devotion to our wilayah, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam." So the angels actually, they draw closer to God, and their whole form of worship is actually dedication and devotion to Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhim salam. And in another narration, "Indeed, Jibril had his beauty increased because he was honored by becoming one of the family of Muhammad alayhi wasalam." So Gabriel, who is considered by Judaism, Christianity, and Islam to be the highest ranking angel, the closest angel to God, the one who brings down the revelations and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the prophets and the messengers. When he reached his highest status, it was that he became a member of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. And from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he also said, Jibreel said, O Lord, I ask you by the right upon you to make me their servant. That's how he became a member of Al-Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have made you their servant. So Jibreel alayhi salam is of the Ahlul Bayt and he is truly our servant. So how did he become from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad? By envying them? By posing to be from them? No. But by only sincerely wanting nothing more in life but to serve them. And again, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed, the angels are our servants, all of the angels. Now contemplate over that for a moment. In the Bible, Jesus says that the Son of Man commands the angels, and it is widely believed by Christians, obviously, to know that Jesus has the ability to command the angels, but Muhammad and the family of Muhammad reveal that the angels are servants, actually, to them. What about the soul? In the Bible, it says, but he, meaning Jesus, took her by the hand and said, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. So Jesus, in the Bible, has the power to command a soul of a little girl that left her body to return back to the body. And the soul, like the angels, adheres to the command of Jesus. Another part of the Bible, it says, then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, Lord, how good it is that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And this is important. Why? Because it shows the superiority of Jesus, one of the greatest prophets and messengers, actually the second greatest after the Prophet Muhammad, having the ability to teach the souls of the dead prophets and messengers, has the ability to command them and to see them, socialize with them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was also given these same abilities, as he is the imam of all of the prophets and he is their leader, as seen in the story of the Isra wal Mi'raj, the night journey when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and he ends up praying and leading all of the prophets and messengers in prayer. So look at the preference of Jesus. He's socializing with two of the prophets and messengers, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, he's socializing and leading with all of the prophets and messengers. And Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi said that all souls are between the hands of the Imam. The Imam of the time has the ability, the Imam from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, to command the souls to come and to go. The jurisprudence. And I will confirm the Torah revealed before me and legalize some of what had been forbidden to you. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, so be mindful of Allah and obey me. This is Surah 3, verse 50. These are the words of Jesus. He's telling the Bani Israel that he's come to confirm the Torah. And here in the very Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies to the fact that Jesus, while confirming the laws that came before, has the ability to come and legalize, change, abrogate the law, and make halal some of that which was previously haram. Ali ibn Ibrahim and Bahar al-Anwar said regarding the verse, and to make lawful for you some of what was forbidden to you, he said, it refers to the lifting of the prohibition on the Sabbath. That Jesus came to say, you don't have to abide by the Sabbath anymore. It's over. And that you're allowed to consume animal fats that previously were haram for you to consume, as well as certain types of birds that Allah had forbidden to the children of Israel. So let's look at what the Bible says. Here's some verses from the Bible, from Mark 2. Jesus was walking through some cornfields on the Sabbath. As his disciples walked along with him, they began to pick the ears of corn. Now, this is forbidden for Jews to do. And obviously, clearly here in the Bible, Jesus and his disciples are totally disregarding the laws of the Sabbath. So the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, it is against our law for your disciples to do that on a Saturday, on the Sabbath." Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did that time when he needed something to eat? He and his men were hungry, so he went into the house of God and ate the bread offered to God. This happened when Abiathar was the high priest. According to our law, only the priests may eat this bread, but David ate it and even gave it to his men." So he's trying to say what? He's trying to say, hey, David also broke laws. Don't you try pointing fingers at me. If you want to point fingers at me, hypocrites, point it at David first. And then Jesus concluded by saying, "The Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. They were not made for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath," meaning the Imam or the Hujjah is above the commandments of God, above the laws of God, has the ability to abrogate and adjust. And this is a confirmation of the hadith that we read earlier. And so Jesus explained that the messenger is above the jurisprudence and has the authority to change the jurisprudence. This authority, we see, is passed down from one divinely appointed caliph to another. So it wasn't something that was just exclusive to Jesus. In another part of the Bible, Jesus said to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Meaning what you make halal on earth will be made halal in the laws of God, and what you make haram will be haram in the laws of God. So it goes from Jesus to Peter. Isn't that weird? Because Muslims accept Jesus' authority to change the jurisprudence because it's in the Quran. And they accept also that he gave that authority to his successor. But the Muslims today deny it for Muhammad's successors. Subhanallah. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The Qa'im shall rise with a new matter and a new book and a new jurisprudence, which will be hard for the Arabs." Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said, "If the riser rises, he shall destroy everything that came before him, just as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and he shall establish a new Islam." And another narration from the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam says, "And the companion of this matter shall not accept the jizya, the taxing the non-Muslim citizens of the country, as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did." And we mentioned these in a previous lecture to demonstrate without a shadow of a doubt that the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam had promised that the Mahdi would come and he would actually do as Jesus did and as Muhammad did and abrogate and change the laws. So now we know that Muhammad and the family of Muhammad have certain powers. They are actually higher than the prophets and messengers. The whole thing about that the Sunnis say, oh yes, we acknowledge them, we love them. What Muslim doesn't love Fatima? What Muslim doesn't love Ali or Hassan or Hussein? This is not enough. You have to recognize them in their rank. Part and a very small part of recognizing them in their rank is recognizing that they are better than the angels, they're better than all of the prophets and messengers, that the prophets and the messengers and the angels are actually their servants. And that they have the ability to abrogate the laws, and what about forgive sins? Now, this is an interesting one. Let's look into this. There are two types or two ways that a person can receive forgiveness of sins. One way is through intercession or shafa'a. Another way is receiving forgiveness for sins directly through absolution or the remission of sins. But what does this mean? In the Bible, one particular verse says, after the golden calf incident, Moses says, perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Meaning, perhaps I can go to God and make istighfar for you guys. Perhaps I can ask God to forgive you. In another verse, it says, Moses pleads with God, please pardon the iniquity of this people. And God responds, I have pardoned them according to your word. Meaning what? Meaning the people, the Jews, they have no place to ask God for forgiveness. And if they did, God would actually not even forgive them because they're unworthy, undeserving. They're too dirty. They're too sinful to receive God's mercy. But because Moses was a good man, Moses was close to God, Moses has special favor with God, Moses was able to intercede with him. That's the idea of intercession. In a verse in the New Testament, it says, Jesus tells a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. So this is different than the other one. The other one, Moses is saying, oh God, please forgive them. This one, Jesus is saying directly, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees objected. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus responds, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And this is an example of absolution, the remission of sins directly through the messenger. The messenger doesn't go back to God to ask for forgiveness, but rather he forgives them automatically through his own will. Let's look at another verse from the Bible. It says, Jesus breathed on them, meaning the disciples. Now, this is super important. Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So now the affairs, the sins, the plate, the scales of the servant are delegated to the hujja or the people who are appointed at that time, in this case, the disciples of Christ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in the hadith said, indeed, I will intercede on the day of judgment and my intercession will be accepted. And Ali will intercede and his intercession will be accepted. And the members of my household will intercede and their intercession will be accepted. Another narration, which is the narration of the will, we have an example here of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam telling Ali, oh Ali, you are my vicegerent guardian over my own family. They're living and they're dead and upon my women. You have authority over my family. You have authority over my women. Whomever you kept, she shall find me tomorrow. And whomever you divorced, I am innocent of her. In other words, whoever you forgive is forgiven. And whoever you condemn is condemned. The same thing that happened with the disciples, the same authority is being passed from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to Imam Ali. I will not see her and she will not see me on the day of resurrection. Why? Because the Prophet's going to paradise and she would be going to hell. And you are my successor over my nation after me. And so this is an example of absolution in Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi wasallam. Judgment. See where it's getting heavier and heavier. Yeah? Jesus said in the Bible. Who knew about this verse? Whoever read this verse before? Jesus said in the Bible, the Father judges no one. God judges nobody, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Isn't that interesting? God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, judges nobody, But all judgment takes place through the Hujjah. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, when the day of judgment comes, Allah will entrust us with the judgment of our Shia. Every imam is the judge on the day of judgment of all of the Shia that lived in his time. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges nobody. And in another narration from him alayhi salam, when Allah gathers the people on a single plane on the day of resurrection, Allah will honor our Shia by not subjecting them to a detailed accounting. We will say, our Lord, these are our Shia. And Allah the Exalted will say, I have entrusted their matter to you, and I have accepted your intercession for them. So on the day of judgment, God says, I'm not even going to judge. The Imam is the one who's going to judge. And there's another narration, by the way, that's not on here, but the narration basically says that it's not just the Prophet Muhammad or the Ahl Bayt, the Imams from the Ahl Bayt, that have the power of intercession, but it's also the Shia too. And it's a very beautiful hadith. And the hadith basically states that there's not one single household, there's no household that exists on the planet that one person enters into heaven, except that all of them enter into heaven because of the power of intercession.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayma wa nahdiin wa sallim taslima.
Ownership over the earth. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, I'm the king of the heavens and the earth. I have power and authority over all of them. I'm the one who inherited the earth. Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, concerning the verse in the Holy Quran, indeed the earth belongs to Allah. He grants it as inheritance to whomever he wills of his servants. So whatever belongs, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, he's saying that here the verse says that the earth belongs to Allah. Whatever belongs to Allah belongs to the messenger of Allah. That's why he created it, so that Muhammad could be the inheritor of the earth. And whatever belonged to the messenger of Allah automatically gets passed down and is for the imam after the messenger of Allah. And this is clear in the Holy Quran when we read the verse, this is how we established Joseph in the land to settle wherever he pleased. We shower our mercy on whomever we will, and we never discount the reward of the good doers. So God is granting ability to Joseph, gives him authority, doesn't put any restrictions on any piece of land that he should settle in. Land that belongs to somebody, land that doesn't belong to somebody. He's saying we granted and established and gave authority to Joseph to take any and settle in any part, any spot of the land, because in his time he was the owner of the land. And so in our final statement, in the conclusion, we say that tonight we learned some very key points, some very key matters that the believer has to have present in the forefront of his mind. That Imam from the family of Muhammad that is present in every day and age is not just an individual that is meant to be a worldly leader or a worldly authority, but that Imam from the messenger from the family of Muhammad is a messenger that will judge you on the day of judgment, that has the authority at any given moment in time to forgive you, and God will forgive you because God delegated that to him. He has the ability to command the angels, and he has the ability to perform anything that any of the previous prophets and messengers have done. But God bless you guys and have a good night. Assalamu alaikum.